produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Being a Christian is one messy job. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Greetings, saints, and welcome to our first of many steps towards walking with God, until Christ is fully formed in us. Our teaching this hour comes from Romans 3, verse 23. Please take out your phones, devices, or Bibles, and turn with me to the book of Romans 3, verse 23, and let us read together. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, NLT, which reads thus. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. Amen. Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You that today we begin a nice long journey towards walking with You, following in the footsteps of Christ Jesus. I pray that every ear that hears this message shall be inclined towards You, and they will have their eyes and ears of obedience opened in Jesus' mighty name. Now, a lot of people are of the view that being a born-again, spirit-filled believer means that one has arrived. They've got the home run and should be as those who are already seated in heaven. But that is not so. We are still very much in a sinful world with a race to run, as is said in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. And the race requires the grace of God and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. For much as we are heavenly bound, the world we live in is sinful. And even our own righteousness is as filthy garments to the Lord, for we are inherently sinful. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So how can we achieve this? How can we run this race that is set before us? How can we run the race and be righteous in a world that is full of sin? Well, when we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are immediately forgiven of our sins and made right with God. So that's the first win right there. Romans 3 verse 25 continues thus. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, not ours, but His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just. He makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. So to get started in our walk with God, we first have to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that He died for our sins. Our spirits are made right with God immediately. However, our minds, our souls, where all our emotions reside and decisions are made, still need to go through a process of being transformed. Yes. So what this means is that instantly, our spirits are made right with God, and we can be able to stand boldly before the throne of God. We are immediately saved. That is easy. Salvation through Christ Jesus. But whilst we are here on earth and we have our minds, we have our souls, and we have our emotions, we are still going through a transformation process. And that is why Romans 12:2 encourages every believer not to copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, not yourself, not your mom, not your dad, not your friends, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So, it means it's a deliberate action and choice. Where now I've confessed my sins to God, I've confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and instantly I'm saved. Done. But I still live here on earth. I'm not yet on my way to heaven. I'm not yet seated in the right heavenly places with God. So I still need to be in this world. Christ has not taken us out of the sinful world. Almost when I think about it playfully, it's like adopting a pig. Yes, adopting a pig. Cleaning it up and giving it a new name, Daisy. It is still a pig and has the nature of a pig. The minute you open the door on a hot, sunny day and let it see a small puddle of mud, it will dash out for a roll and a wallow. To cool off, of course, not because it's a dirty animal. It's its nature. Now, when Adam sinned, that happened in Genesis. We'll cover that on one of the days. Sin entered the world, and death through sin. Thus, death spread to all men because all sinned, explains Romans 5:12. It's almost like with your political party. You vote for a particular political party in a democracy. They go to parliament where they make laws on your behalf. And whatever decision they make on your behalf, they voted you in that process. So when Adam disobeyed God and sinned, he took all of us with him because we're in his loins at the time. The immediate result of Adam's disobedience was death. Because God said that if you eat of the tree of life, you will surely die. But being a faithful God who was kind and gracious, they didn't physically die, as we know death. But what kind of death was it then? It was a spiritual death. They were separated from God, him and his wife, Eve. Now, we all know what physical death is. A separation from the spirit and the body. So with Adam's sin, we lost our right standing with God, that righteousness, and the fellowship which he had created us for. In Genesis 2 and 3, we see Adam and Eve move from a place of being without shame and walking with God, because he used to come and walk with them in the cool of day, and they were all happy walking with him and listening to him, to being filled with shame and hiding from God immediately when they disobeyed God and sin entered their bodies. They were filled with shame and they hid from God. And when he came for the usual casual walk and hang out with them, they were no longer available. They were hiding in shame. That must have been a terrible experience for both God and man, the separation. Because of this disobedience, mankind now stands as guilty sinners in Adam and as his descendants. We all enter the world separated from God and are by nature children of wrath. sons of disobedience, living in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We find that in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3. So because of the fall, we enter the race at birth with a disadvantaged sin nature. Hence, it is more natural for man to sin than not to sin. Sin affects the entire person, their body, soul, emotions, mind, and spirit. Additionally, mankind has lost sight of the purpose for which they were created. Humanity was created to give glory to God. Have a check on Romans 11, verse 36, or 1 Corinthians 10, 31. But the Bible tells us that no one seeks after God anymore. We've become lovers of ourselves. We've been filled with pride. We are all concerned about me, myself, and I, the whole Trinity. No one is righteous and no one understands. The sin nature results in a continuous battle in the human race, a battle between life and death. For sin results in physical death. We witness this battle in Paul's lamentation. I mean, we all know Paul wrote about a sixth of the entire Bible. He had an encounter with Jesus himself and all sorts of good things. So he was like the right man right there. But let's read what he says in Romans 7, verse 14 to 17. Again, I'm reading from the NLT. It reads this way. So the trouble is not with the law. Now, Paul is making reference to the law of Moses, which was given to the children of Israel as a form of guidance. He says, the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. Just as when God created the world, he said it is good. The trouble is with me. Let's read that again. The trouble is with me, not the law. For it is spiritual and good. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. This is what Paul says. And I think a lot of us think that way many times. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Okay? Who's this? Me, you, and the whole entire human race. We know what is right. We want to do what is right. We intend to do what is right. But alas, we don't do it. Adam clearly knew what was right. God spoke to him in person. There was no other person. There was no translator. There was no lost in translation. There was no mailman or mailbox that stole the message and corrupted it. He knew what was right, but he did wrong. But like I said, that's a story for another day. Choosing to listen to Eve instead of obeying God and therefore introducing all of us to the sinful nature. Again, let's read. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Whew. Instead, I do what I hate. That's me, that's you, the entire human race. We know what is right, we intend to do it, we want to do it, but we end up doing what we hate. Paul continues, but if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that is doing it. He's not necessarily giving us all a pass out that, okay, we are excused. Sin is doing it for me. Mm-mm. We are born into sin as sons of disobedience, inherently sinful. And without God and without Christ, this battle continues where we know what is right. And that is why Paul encourages us to renew our minds, because that's where the battle is happening. Our spirit is saved and made right with God, but our minds still need to go through the transformation process of daily renewing our thinking by spending time in the presence of the Lord, spending time reading the Word, having it engraved in our hearts, in our minds, and allowing the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, purify us, to let the Word of God live in us. Phew, that sounded a little bit somber about the struggle. But there's great news. The great news is God provided a remedy for sin. Just as in Adam, all die, so all also in Christ shall be made alive. And that's the rest of that scripture. That's what our foundation is on today. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says that. The salvation that Jesus brought us with his blood. We have been bought at a high price through the blood of Jesus, making every influence that Adam passed on to humanity, Christ overcame for us. So we are overcomers. We have overcome sin through Christ. In the same way that our merciful God covered Adam and Eve's shame, remember, after they hid from God and he asked them why they were hiding, it was about their shame. God killed two innocent animals and covered them. Jesus' blood covers our shame. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We read that in Hebrews 9, verse 22. In both instances, a life had to be traded for the salvation of man. For the price of sin is death. That was the word at the beginning. God doesn't change. He's not a man that he should lie. His word is everlasting. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. When God instructed Adam not to eat of the tree of life, he told him that if he did, he would surely die. Because there is a sin nature in every man, Christ offers a new nature to those who experience his salvation. Isn't that wonderful? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. His death is a substitute for ours. Through the cross, the repentant, note repentant, 360 degree turnaround. That's what repentance means. Sinners receive a new life and all things are forgiven and forgotten. And the lovely part is that when we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us. He throws all of that into the ocean and sea of forgetfulness. And we have a new chapter. We are new creatures. For everyone who comes to Jesus, their sins are forgiven and their relationship with God is restored. Go and check that out in John 1 verse 29 or 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. I would like for you to get to know and be friends with your Bible, because that is how the transformation of your mind and of your thinking and of your emotions will come about. Yes, instantly when you confess your sins to God and you confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are instantly forgiven. But then the walking of the journey begins by you spending time in the Word of God, renewing your mind through the Word of God. So while the race is condemned already, as John 3 verse 18 says, because of Adam's sin, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1, I still remember till this day. I can't remember how many years ago, more than 16 years ago, when I first got saved and I walked into a believer's church. They were reading from that scripture. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now, not yesterday, now, instantly, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And can I get an amen from there? No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ came as the last Adam. We find that in the 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45, to lead a new race of those who are born again into his kingdom. John 1 verse 13. Now, God's clothing of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 is also a reminder that our salvation does not come to us through our own works. As I said at the start of the message, that even our own righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Our righteousness and salvation is not because of our works, but it's by the grace of God. When he clothes us in his righteousness, it is God's righteousness that makes us and qualifies us to be in good standing with him. We find all of this nice evidence in Philippians 3 verse 9 and Zechariah 3. I'm going to read from Zechariah 3 because it makes it plain and clear. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy, that's us in our sinful state, nauseatingly vile garments, and was standing before the angel of the Lord. He spoke to those who stood before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. That's the angel of the Lord right there. And he said to Joshua, see, I have caused your wickedness to be taken away from you, and I will clothe you and beautify you, praise God, hallelujah, with the rich robes of what? Forgiveness. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, that is, remain faithful and perform my service, then you will also govern my house. That is the restoration that was given to Adam, because Adam was given the right to rule and reign and have dominion over the earth, which he handed over to the enemy. Now, with this renewal, with this removing of filthy garments, with this salvation, hallelujah, with the forgiveness and beautifying, God gives us back what we lost. When we walk in his ways and remain faithful in his service, and we live according to his purpose for our lives, he will then give us that dominion back to govern his house and have charge over his courts. He will give us free access to his presence, that we can freely and boldly stand before his court of grace without needing an intermediary, without needing to have to kill an animal, without needing to have to ask somebody, a high priest, to go once in a year to go and stand on our behalf. But we can now freely and boldly stand before the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amongst these who are standing in the presence of the Lord. That was from the Amplified Version. God, by his grace and mercy, has cleaned us up and restored our walk with him. Praise God. God, by his grace and mercy, has cleaned us up and restored our walk with him. Now it is up to you and me to daily choose to walk in Christ's footsteps. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name until our next teaching. You stay well and stay safe. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.